Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Night and Day podcast, featuring the interview archives of Western New York music writer Tom Jennings. Tom has interviewed some of the biggest names in music and entertainment, and now you can enjoy these never-before-heard interviews. Here's your host, Tom Jennings.
Thank you very much for joining me for another episode of Night and Day. This week, we have an interview with Greg Raleigh. Greg is known for being in a couple of different bands. The two big ones, of course, if you are familiar with Greg, are Journey, and the other one before Journey was Santana, the original Santana lineup that was responsible for the big hits like Black Magic Woman and Oy Como Va. In fact, that's Greg doing lead vocals on those original recordings, songs that he's doing now out on the road with Ringo Starr's All-Star Band. I had reached out to Greg's publicist to set up this interview shortly after Journey was inducted into the Hall of Fame, and with Journey being inducted with Greg, it made Greg one of the elite group of artists that is inducted to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame twice. He was also inducted as a member of the aforementioned Santana. Greg's a real easy guy to talk to, as I'm sure you'll hear. Some of the subjects that we talk about are his reaction when he saw Steve Perry and how long it had been since he had spoken to Steve, and it talks about when he made the decision to leave Journey at a time when the band was really just about to turn into major superstars. They were doing well when Greg was there, but once Greg had left, they really took off with albums like Escape. Anyhow, without any further delay, here's my interview with two-time Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductee, Greg Raleigh.
Hello?
Hey, is this Greg?
Yes.
Hey, Greg, Tom Jennings, how are you?
I'm very good.
We've actually met a couple of times. I met you the first night of the first Ringo tour, and then out in Syracuse briefly, and we were on Rungren Radio together, like 3.5-4 years ago.
Good to hear from you again.
Well, you know, I guess I'll start with congratulations are in order, and that's why I reached out to interview you again. Pretty exciting news. You're a very elite class of musicians who've hit the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame twice. I mean, what's how does that feel? I know a lot of people pick on the Hall of Fame, but it's got to be pretty amazing for you.
Well, it still is amazing. There's things to pick on the Hall of Fame for, but at the same time, you know how many groups are out there that ought to be in there, and how do you go through it? You know, there's a lot of people that should be there, and some should have been earlier, and some, you know, that Journey finally got in there is great. And I would have thought that they would have been in it earlier as well, but it's part of the game. But for me, it's like kind of stunning to be in that group of musicians that I hold in such high esteem. And for instance, if it wasn't for the Beatles, I probably would have been an architect. And so here I am sitting in the same little group with them in the Hall of Fame, which is is very cool. And I was just stunned by it. I kind of am still. It's like, I guess because the goal in playing music there was no Hall of Fame when I started. So it was never a goal. And it was always about playing for people and trying to make a good living and have people enjoy what you do and sustaining it. And that's what's happened. It's been an amazing trip for me.
So if we could focus a little bit on Journey, because, you know, I mean, we know your time with Santana and everything, but what was it like to have kind of everybody in the same room? I mean, did it happen that night, or was it something you kind of all communicated beforehand, or how did that all shake out?
What do you mean? During the event or just in the band? I don't follow you completely.
The event. So like the night of the night of the induction ceremony for Journey. Was that the first time that, let's say, you had seen Steve Perry in, you know, X amount of years, or what was that like?
For Steve Perry, it was I think for everybody. Neil, I think he said the last time he saw Steve or played with him, it was one of the two, it was Bill Graham's funeral. And they did a thing in the park in, what's it called, Presidio in San Francisco. And that was the last time. I haven't seen Steve in 35 years.
Wow.
And so he just appeared out of nowhere. And as far as playing with Journey, I did it once in 2011. It's here in Austin where I live, and sat in on one song. It did just the same way with him to about 8,000 to 10,000 people. And they were all stunned. It's like, you know, one guy, I heard, a friend of mine was in the audience, and he goes, "That's Greg Raleigh." And I was thinking to myself, did you really need to have, you have to say it that way? It doesn't sound good. Anyway, but playing with him, it was a guess, and it's what it should be. It's like, you know, the band was built, it's Journey, past, present, and future. Without the past, there's no present, no future. So it's all of it, and having all of that on stage, as much as you could do, is a fantastic thing for fans. I think, because the dream of anybody looking at a band is that you're going out against the world, you know, a little unit of people, and going out there and winning and doing things, and it's exciting. And so I think if they all get on, you all get on stage at the same time, I think they're elated by it. I know I was. It's like, it's cool. It's great. So I had a good time. I had a great time doing it.
Was you surprised that Steve Perry didn't even maybe really make an effort to sing a song or two? Or was that kind of like going into it, everybody sort of said, it's probably not going to happen?
You know what? In all reality, I really didn't know until everybody got up from the table and it was like, Steve's here, you know. We didn't know what he was going to do. We heard he was going to show, but we didn't know what it was. At least I didn't. And so when I walked on the stage and gave him a hug, that's the first time I've seen him in 35 years.
Wow.
And I didn't know what he was going to do, and it was kind of up to him. And so, just the fact that he showed and gave a great speech, and the accolades that he's given to all the players and the band and Arnell as well, and moving forward. So he's honoring past, present, and future, and I think it was right on.
And speaking of, I mean, that obviously Steve Perry's addition to Journey was a huge turning point for the band. That early stuff, very, very proggy, more in the kind of Santana vein. Do you remember, because I've read about this, when Robert Fleischman was sort of being kicked around as the lead singer before Perry, and I think he may have even done a show or two with you guys.
Yeah, he did a couple of shows with us, and I still like Robert, and I've talked to him several times, in the last, more so than Steve, I think. Right? Anyway, Neil and I liked him because he was, you know, rocking more, and Perry came in, he was more of a crooner and stuff, and initially we were going, well, I don't know, and Herbie Herbert says, well, get used to it, that's your singer. and he was right. I mean, Steve came in, he a fantastic voice, and then the songwriting abilities that came out of it moved everything forward. We went from writing for solos to writing for vocals, and it was a totally different game for me. And I became a better songwriter because of going in that direction.
And I mean, you left Journey at a really interesting time because the band was just starting to kind of get its stride commercially.
Yeah.
And actually that live album with you on it is one of my favorite live albums to this day. I mean, I feel like the band was really firing on all cylinders. Was that a tough decision? Was there any acrimony involved, or was it just one of those things that you really just had to do for yourself?
It was for myself, and I kind of wrestled with it for about a year because I didn't enjoy the gypsy life, is the way I put it. I, you know, living out of a suitcase, I did it for 14 years, built two bands, and just hotel to hotel. When you start knowing knowing the maitre d's at restaurants in Cleveland and things like that, you know you've been out for a while. And so I just wanted to change my life, start a family, which I did. I think it's my best work. And and it was something I really needed to do for myself. And I felt bad about it because, it's like I was not enjoying myself. So I was kind of miserable. So I'm making other people miserable. It's really not the game. It's not the way I see this. And I couldn't help it. I just really didn't want to be there anymore. It had nothing to do with anything but that. It was totally me. I remember Herbie Herbert going, "You're kidding me. I feel like I'm losing my right arm." And I couldn't help it. That's just the way it went.
And you know, one of the things that I've always found interesting about the transition from you to Jonathan Cain is that unlike the transition from, say, you know, Steve Perry to a few guys before they got up to Arnell, it was always kind of the same guy to replace that Steve Perry role. But when you left, it seems like they went just a full one. I mean, Jonathan is a very, very different player than you in almost every way, shape, and form.
Yeah, yes, he is. I recommended Jonathan. I said, "You guys need to check this guy out." He was in the Babies, and we toured for a bit. And I watched him, and he could play guitar as well, and he could do a few things. I had no idea that he could help pen some of the best songs that Journey ever had. And that was a total surprise. But as far as just covering, you know, what we did, I felt he could. And so then it turned into this thing. So I actually feel like, well, I really helped. This is good.
And did you ever look at Journey like maybe somebody does an ex-girlfriend? You kind of feel a little bit emotional in the sense that here they are, super successful. I mean, were you following them, or was it kind of something that was in your past a little bit and you checked them out? Or, I mean, were you pulling up those albums as they came out?
Oh, I'm proud of it. I look at it totally the other way. It's like whoever developed the first Ford, and it turns into a Lotus. You know, I mean, it's fine with me. You can't start it without starting the band up. You know, I remember the tours that we did to build it. It was a built band, and so by the time I left, it was a multi-platinum band, and it was just time for me to go. But No, I've never looked back and gone, "Oh, God, I should have done this." Because it would have been different. You can't do that.
And, you know, well, fast forward to, you know, current time, we touched briefly on the fact that you've been touring with Ringo Starr for quite some time. And
yeah.
Chemistry in that band is absolutely undeniable. One quick question. You know, the one thing I've noticed, though, is it's got to be, what, 6-7 years. I think you've toured longer than you toured with the Beatles.
This will be the fifth year.
So it'll be the fifth year, so probably comparable in terms of, you know, Ringo's time with the Beatles. You know, you're doing those Santana numbers. Has it ever come into the mix, and maybe now with the with Journey being in the Hall of Fame, has there been any talk about pulling in a couple of those Journey numbers, like just the same way? Because, I mean, you've stuck with a pretty solid set list for that whole 5 years.
Yeah, I mean, we sure probably could. The whole basis of Ringo's band is that it's based on hit songs, and that's what he wants to do. He wants to give the people what they want to hear, and that's what he does. And so I'd be open to it. Never talked about it, and if he asked me, we could certainly try that. I know I could do it. I know I could sing it. You know the band can certainly play it, but the ones we're doing, the crowd loves. You know, and Ringo playing "Oye Como Va," he goes, "Here I am, Mr. Pop, and I'm playing this Latin stuff. I love it." And so he's having fun, and that's all I care about, man. It's all working, and if we end up doing that, it'd be great. I have no problem in doing so.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny when you mention that, because, I mean, typically each band member gets about three numbers. It's like, in your case, you certainly couldn't drop Black Magic Woman. You can't drop "Oye Como Va,"
or "Evil Ways." I mean,
yeah, "Evil Ways."
They all go over tremendously, and you know, and the way we're touring, it's like, you know, every two or three years you go back to possibly the same city, same area anyway. And like any other band, if you don't play those songs, if you don't play the hits, it's like him not playing A Little Help for My Friend. Well, there's a lot of disappointed people when that happens. So whatever, you know, I'm game for whatever. I just love doing it.
Yeah, I think just the same way would probably be a good fit for that band. But as you said, I mean, unless they extended the set list to about three and a half hours, I mean, you guys could go all night.
Yeah, yeah, could happen. Who knows?
Yeah.
So, like I said, he's the boss, man. I love doing it, and whatever he wants to do, we'll go.
Yeah, no, it's got to be one of the most incredible experiences of any musician's life to just hang out with a Beatle. You know, I can't even begin to imagine.
Yeah, no, it took me a year and a half to really relax about it. I turn on the stage and look over, and there he is playing. I'm playing with him. Holy crap.
Yeah, yeah. And I've seen you guys three times. I've seen a lot of the other incarnations, and this one really gels. I think these lineups, as you know, are always the potential for real disaster, especially between the egos and playing styles. But, man, you guys have really hung together as quite a tight unit.
It's they're all great players and good guys, and that's really where it stands. And the music's eclectic. I mean, it goes, when you think about it, the music goes back from the 60s through into the 80s, and Richard Page does one that's brand new that nobody he does one song that's brand new, and so it just covers everything, and it is eclectic. We come from such different bands, but it is a band. I think that's probably the biggest key to it, is that Ringo has made this a band. It's not like a cover band of covering things. Hey, I got somebody calling. This
okay.
is my next
All right. Well, Greg, thank you so much. God bless. Safe travels, and congratulations again on the Rock Hall.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Right, bye-bye.